You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Good morning, good morning. How's everyone going? Isn't it good to be in church on Resurrection Sunday? You with me this morning? Isn't it good to be in church on Resurrection Sunday? I don't know about you, but I think it's pretty cool that we can join together and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus on Resurrection Sunday. Well, when we talk about Resurrection Sunday, I think it's really important that we go to the scriptures today. We're going to look at Mark 16, 1 through 8. This is what it says. Now, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices. Who likes spices? Hot spices? More people than I thought. I just think Monica. That they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, that they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they'd laid him. But go tell the disciples and Peter that he was going before you into Galilee, and you'll see him there." I don't know about you. That moment would have been absolutely freaking crazy. But at Easter, you know, this moment where we celebrate that he is not there, that he is risen, that the stone is rolled away to reveal the goodness of God to all humanity. Amen. You know, got a little story for you for Easter. You know, it's this is a Sunday school teacher, and one Easter morning, Sunday school teacher had decided on, "Let's see how much my class knows about the true meaning of Easter." And one of the little girls quickly raised her hand. "So, yes, Rachel," the teacher called. "Easter is where all my aunts and uncles come to our house for a barbecue, watch cricket, and take naps." "No, Rachel, that's Boxing Day." Another student raised her hand. "Yes, Joey," she asked. "Last Easter, we decorated a huge tree, sang songs, and got lots of presents," he answered. "No, Joey, that was Christmas," she replied. Now, the teacher was getting a little bit nervous. "Does anyone know what Easter is?" "I know," little Janice said confidently, standing to her feet. "Easter is a special day. We'll remember that Jesus hung on a cross, died, and was put into a tomb for 3 days." "Very good, Janice," said the teacher with a sigh of relief. "Now, class, we're going to..." "And on the third day, everyone gathers around the tomb," Janice continued. "And they wait and see to see if Jesus comes out. And if he sees a shadow, that means there's 6 more weeks of winter." The teacher interrupted Janice before she could finish her speech. Class dismissed. I'm not sure what your understanding of Easter is, or Groundhog Day for that matter. Sometimes, if we follow what we think it's about, we could miss the wonderful, life-transforming power of the gospel message that Jesus saves. It's important to know what we celebrate and why we celebrate it. That Jesus would take on sin itself and defeat it. Sin that may have started with the fruit of a tree, but I assure you today that the power of sin has been beaten with Jesus taking sin back to the tree. Amen. See, Easter is so much more than another holiday like Boxing Day or Groundhog Day. It's a time when we reflect that Jesus' radical sacrifice, the death on the cross, the victory over the grave, and his ultimate gift of salvation, amen, that eternal life comes from him. This is what we celebrate. And this is a day where we get to rejoice and celebrate that the grave is not only empty, but eternity has been changed forever and ever. See, these are the words that rang out on that day. He isn't here, he is risen. And they echo throughout history and time as a declaration that he completed what he said he would do. I don't know, but that's a promise worth getting excited about. You know, Matthew 28:6, it says, he isn't here, he's risen from the dead, just as he said it would happen. Come and see where the body was lying. Just as he said it would happen. He told his disciples, this is exactly what's going to happen. History tells us that the days following the cross were probably some of the most confusing for the followers of Jesus that they'd ever experienced in their whole life. I imagine that they would not have been able to rationalize and explain like what is happening. Even though we'd sort of said this is what's going to happen, they were still like, what? What is going on? There was this disappointment that filled the air. And for us, we get to see the whole picture in hindsight. Aren't we blessed and lucky that we get to see that? And I want to encourage us today, don't let it become a historical fact. It happened in history. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that wonderful? No. When we say today, he is risen, it's with an exclamation of thanks. Thanks to God for his radical plan that he made way once and for all people, freedom from sin. Amen. Maybe you've had a thought like this before. How could God love me? I mess up. I do the wrong thing. I don't really want to know him. If he knew what I'd already done, but even more so what I was capable of, how could God love me? Beyond any doubt, this is a biblical beyond any doubt today, God knows, God has already decided that you are loved by him, even though he's seen what you're capable of and what you've already done. Romans 5 verse 8 says this, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. I don't know about you, but that's encouraging. See, even before, if you knew that you'd be a nice person, a kind person, a mean person, or a person who was with sin, he had already decided that he loves you. What a gracious, loving God. See, it says in that passage of scripture that, starting at verse 7, now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Though someone might perhaps be prepared and be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us. See, when you hear the following scripture, I want to encourage you today that when Jesus went to the cross, and he took on sin and death itself, he decided to send Jesus to take the sin of the world and render sin powerless. And this, I want you to hear this passage of scripture today from John 3, 16 to 17. It says this, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. You've probably heard that scripture a billion times, but here's the one that you don't always read on to. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. See, one thing I can say with complete assurance today for every single person in the room and watching online is this, that you are loved by God. You are loved by God. I love the way that this version puts it. This is how God loved the world. Often we read the New King James, for God so loved the world. This is how God loved the world. He sent his son so that you could not be judged, but you could be saved. I can say it with complete assurance today. You know, maybe you've heard of someone in the Bible called Peter. For those of you who are vaguely familiar with him, this is the same guy who like cut someone's ear off and denied that Jesus was like, you know, that he was friends with Jesus. In Matthew 26, 31 to 35, it talks about Jesus predicting that Peter would deny Jesus. And this is Jesus speaking. It says, on the way, Jesus told them, tonight all of you will desert me, for the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. And in verse 33, it goes on to say, but Peter declared, even if everyone deserts you, I will never desert you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, Peter, for this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times that you even know me. Quite literally, before the night was done, somehow Peter found himself doing something he declared he would never, ever do. He denies his belief in Jesus or that he even knew him. And Luke 22:54-62 is what it says from verse 56. Then a servant girl, seeing him, sat in the light and looked closely and said, this man was also with him, but he denied it, saying, woman, I don't know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you're also one of them. But Peter said, man, I'm not. And then in verse 59, another insisted, saying, certainly this man was with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. In verse 61, and then this is after the rooster crowed. And then the Lord turned to Peter, looked at Peter, and Peter remembered saying of the Lord, how had he said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. See, I'm not sure where you're at today. You might be all squared away with Jesus. You might have once been as zealous as Peter was once upon a time. You might be at a crossroads in your life of knowing Jesus personally. But have you ever found yourself in a place where you swore that you would never do anything to hurt your relationship with Jesus or hurt your relationship with someone else, or swore to yourself that you would never do anything to jeopardize your well-being, would never do anything to jeopardize your health, your state of mind, or the way that you carry yourself through life? I want to encourage you today that you're in good company, that every single person in this room can relate on some level, that we don't always have it all squared away. See, Peter in this story in the Bible certainly can resonate with each of us in this room. He messed up, did the unthinkable. He was untrue to himself and untrue to Jesus. Yet Jesus, fulfilling his purpose on the cross, he doesn't turn Peter away. He carries out the plan. He rises from the grave and goes to meet his disciples in Galilee, just as he said that he would. I want to encourage you today that Jesus is here to meet us just as he said he would them. See, Peter denied Jesus. You may have denied Jesus. You may have lived your own way, but it's not over. That's the good news for us today. It's not over. See, as it was for Peter, and just like anyone who would turn to Jesus today, Jesus offers second chances. The cross offered us all a second chance. We were without him. He went to the cross, was buried and rose again on the third day so that we might know God personally through Jesus. Reba McEntire, she's a singer and actor, for those of you who are familiar with her music, explains what Easter means to her. Easter is very important to me. It's a second chance. It's a reminder to all of us that we can turn back to God. We may have made decisions to turn away from him and deny that we want to be friends with him, to know him personally. But Easter reminds us, God is a God of the second chance. From the cross, the grave, the resurrection on the third day, Jesus gives you the opportunity to re-engage with God. You know, you may have had an average experience with church. You may have had a great experience with the church. I want to encourage you today that don't let people's behavior stop you from knowing the love and freedom that leads to eternal life. He came to save the world from the grip of sin and separation from God. Now, perhaps you're in this space today and you've never heard it put before that God purposefully and deeply loves you. And how did he show his love for you through Jesus? Maybe you've never heard that before. He sent Jesus, taking on the sin, taking on the culpability of all sin, the guilt, the blame, the fault, the responsibility, the accountability, the liability, the answerability, and every other ability that you can think of. He went to the grave, rose again. What does it do? It leaves us with this opportunity to be known and restored. See, this is the foundation of the Christian faith. We can make it about all these other things, but this is it. This is where it hits the road. This is us coming to Jesus, knowing him personally. See, the primary purpose of Jesus coming to earth was fulfilled when Jesus completed God's plan. Aren't you thankful for it? I am. See, because of this, you have access to the grace and salvation and a relationship with God. Titus 2:11 says this, "For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people." What's the grace of God? Jesus is the grace of God, bringing salvation to all people. Romans 5:18 says this, "But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone." That's our promise. It's our promise. Just as the team comes this morning. You know, we heard these words on Good Friday. And this is Jesus when he shared these words. He shared his last and final words at the cross. "It is finished." He wasn't just referring to his last breath. He wasn't just referring to passing into the heavens. He wasn't just declaring, "I gave it a good run, but it didn't quite work out as I wanted it to." No, that's not what he was saying at all. It was a declaration that sin was no longer going to have a grip on the hearts of people. It was a declaration that sin would no longer have a grip on the hearts of people. That separation of humanity and God was finished. That he was the way to forgiveness and new life. Now it says in Romans 6:14, "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you're not under the law, but under grace." When you receive Jesus, no longer under the law, but under his grace. Quite literally, that sin will no longer have control of you anymore, because we can be under God's favor. Unto Jesus, amen. God's grace. This is for all of us today. God's grace. Jesus is for you. For you to be set free. For you to be set free from sin. Why don't we just close our eyes for a moment this morning? God, we thank you on this day, Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate and we remember that you sent Jesus, so that we could be free from the grip of sin, that so we could know you personally. The old way is finished and the new life has begun in Jesus' name. Just as we come into this moment, you know, you may not know Jesus personally, but I want to give you the opportunity today to know Jesus personally, to be set free, to no longer have sin controlling your life, but step into the new life and grace that Jesus has for each and every single one of us. In a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. And it's a prayer of coming back to God, acknowledging our fault and our sin, but coming to him and say, I accept your grace. I accept you the forgiveness that you offer me. And I choose to follow you. It says in Romans 10 verse 9 that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him, that you will be saved. This is the promise for every single person that would turn to him and say, I need that. So if that's you today, I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer with me. The rest of the church is going to join in as well in praying this prayer. Pray after me. Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus. And on this Resurrection Sunday, I declare that sin will no longer be my master. Why? Because I declare with my mouth, believe in my heart, that you raised Jesus. Forgive me of my sin. I surrender my life I choose to follow you. I'm under grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.